said that it filled all the house. Aren't you glad you can go to a church where the Spirit of God is? There's a lot of buildings today filled with people, and I appreciate you being here, but if the Holy One doesn't come down, then we've all met in vain this morning. We sure do need His goodness and His presence. Now, I want you to notice this. We preached last Sunday morning out of Acts 2 on Peter's Pentecostal address. It was a pretty good sermon. There was 3,000 got saved. And so we preached out of that passage. We ended that, and it picks up now. This, remember, they've lived in Judaism all their life. This is a transition. Christ has died for the sins of the world. No longer do they offer sacrifices in the temple, for Jesus was our ultimate sacrifice on Calvary's cross. But these people, they're in Judaism, they're in religion, they're trying to break from that. They're in a new transition. God is moving, and the Spirit is working and dealing. And so when the Bible said in verse 41 of Acts 2, there were added to them 3,000 souls, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Doctrine is very important. And so they continued in the doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread, watch, and in prayers. And fear came on every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed, I love this, was together. Isn't it good to be together? They had all things common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Watch your Bible, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. How did these people get saved, preacher? They was having church. And can I tell you, if we'll have church, people will still get saved. Now, Acts 3:1. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." Watch this. He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. I wish this man went to church here, and he, leaping up, stood and walked, entered with them in the temple, walking, leaping, and a-praising God. You may be seated this morning. Whoever told you that church was supposed to be dead? Whoever told you church was to be so formal that you're not to raise your hands and praise the Lord? Have you forgot about what Christ has done for you? But I'm preaching this morning out of this passage in Acts 3 on this beautiful gate. I got a few thoughts and I'll be done preaching, then we'll have music today. First of all, in verse number 1, there was a gathering. Watch this text. It's very amazing. You'll see in verse 1, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Here's a gathering. Notice their destination. They went to the temple. So what do we do now? We come to God's house. We come to church. He said, "Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but the more as you see the day approaching." Now, since Christ, He rose on that third day. We found them disciples in the upper room on that Sunday evening. There they're going to church. Now on the first day of the week on Sunday is the Lord's day. That's when we as God's people set aside. Look, you can do whatever you want to after church or before church. That's your business. But it ought to be set at your house, on your calendar, on your watch. Sunday morning is the Lord's day. and we're going to go to the house of God. Why? Because it's so important. I need it. You need it. Others need it. And God deserves it. For we come in and worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we see this gathering, there was a great destination. They were going to the temple. Secondly, there was a great devotion. They were going at the hour of prayer. The Jews practiced 3 times a day. Here at 3 in that afternoon, they're going to the temple to do their praying. Oh my goodness, if it's ever been a day and an hour when God's people need to pray, it is today. And so we see their destination, their devotion. But then I love their display, Brother Tim. They went up together. It shows their harmony. We might not all look just alike. We all don't do just alike. But let me tell you something. We can be together. We can have harmony going in one direction for God's heaven. So we see this gathering, their destination, headed to the temple, their devotion, they were praying, their display, they went up together. And it's nothing like being together. I love harmony. The devil will try to divide you. For the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to divide your family. He wants to divide the church family. And it's so important that we as brothers and sisters in Christ stay together, going toward God's great heaven. For there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Oh my, their devotion, their display. But then in verse 4, look at their duty. The Bible said that this man, Peter, fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Their duty. I wonder how many people had walked by this lame man. He's there at the gate, and I'll preach about that in a moment. But y'all think about this real quickly today. I wonder how many people passed him by. Peter and John fastened their eyes on him. I wish that we could see people as having a soul that's going to step out into eternity. Do you ever go to a ball game? My grandchildren have had ball games, and I'm not a ball game person that much, but I do go because I love to see them play. And I look around them grandstands, Brother Adam, how they're filled to capacity. And I get to thinking, you're all going to meet God, and are you ready to meet God? Let me tell you something. Could we look the way the Lord looks at the souls of men? Does not matter their color. Does not matter their heritage. We're all going to meet the Lord, and we all stand even at Calvary's cross. So we see this gathering. But number 2, look in verse number 2. There's a guest. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried daily at the gate of the temple that is called Beautiful. The guest that is there, he was lame. And look, he was born that way. He was born lame from his mother's womb. That reminds me about me and you. We were all born from an earthly mother and father. We inherited Adam's bloodline all the way back to the garden. And we were born in trespasses and sins. We couldn't get to God, but God could get to us. We were all born sinners. And that's why we must be born again. So we see this guest. He was lame from his mother's womb. Not only was he lame, but he was left. They had dropped him off. Maybe they had carried him. But you know, there's a lot of people that have been left at the gate. People just passing by and walking by. And I know in this culture, in this day and this hour, when I go through Atlanta, they're lined up beside the fence, and they're sitting there, and they're begging. And I get to thinking, look, bud, if you can stand out here with a backpack and a cell phone, you can get you a job. Somebody say amen. But I do want to say this. There are some that are by the highway side, and we pass by them many times. Not only was he lame, but he was left. Isn't it sad to be left? That's why you need a church to go to, so people can encourage you and help you in this walk of life. Oh, he was lame. He was left. And I want to say thirdly, he was lonely. My goodness, isn't it bad to be alone? But can I tell you this morning, it may be your first time to come to Liberty Baptist Church. You don't have to be alone. You don't have to be left, because we love you and God loves you. And we know somebody can help you. The one that helped me can help you. Would somebody help me preach this morning? Oh, it's so bad to be so lonely. Then lastly, he was very limited. He couldn't do for himself. He was brought there, no doubt, and he was laid at this place. Not only was he lonely, but he was so limited. He couldn't do nothing for himself. That's just like me and you, a picture of sin. We couldn't get to where God was, but aren't you glad God got to you? We couldn't work our way into heaven. We were so limited of what we could do. And folks, you've never may have never heard this before, but you can't live good enough to go to heaven. You can't do enough to go to heaven. You must trust Christ as your Savior, His finished work on Calvary's cross. Oh, we see this gathering. Then we see this guest, the lame man. But thirdly, notice this gate. It was a beautiful gate. Some of the scholars say it was 75 foot tall. It was overlaid with some of the most purest minerals that existed. It was something to see. And so this family or this friend or these people brought this lame man to the gate. It's called beautiful. Can I tell you, it led to the temple. And God's place ought to be the prettiest place in town. We come to the house of God, we ought to take care of it. We ought to see about it. When people pass by, they pass by this thing's lit at night. They say, my goodness, how beautiful. When the snow fell, there's been postcards made, put in the stores about how beautiful it is. Can I tell you, God's house ought to be the prettiest place in town. I thank God we got a beautiful place to go. But let me tell you why it's so beautiful, because the place that it led to. It led to the temple. And I want to say about that gate today, that gate was very obvious. It was leading to the temple, but the gate was open. Aren't you glad the gate's still open this morning? Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't shut you on the outside, but He died on the cross so that great heavenly gate could open one day, that we could walk through by faith and be gloriously saved? We see this gathering, Peter and John. You ever thought about when we get to heaven, we're going to meet these and go to church with them? Won't it be wonderful to go to church with those that were the pillars of the church and worked on the foundation? It'd be amazing to go with Peter and John, the disciples, the apostles, those that have gone on and been buried. We'll live together, get to go to church with them. Brother Jamie's been preaching on Wednesday night about the millennial kingdom, the bride of Christ, and going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Are you going to heaven? So here we see this great passage of this lame man at the beautiful gate. There is a gathering. There's a guest. There is a gate. This gate is observed. This gate is open. But then thirdly, this gate had great opportunity. They knew where to bring him to. You know, I've heard this a lot. Me and Renee has got out of the vehicle to open the church up on Sunday morning. It'd be family standing out beside waiting for us to get there. What were they wanting, preacher? They wanted help. They'd stopped in town and people would say, I don't know, but that church out there at the end of the road, they'll help you if you'll go out there. You say, preacher, we're going to give everybody money? No, we can help some, but we can't help everybody. But let me tell you what we can do for everybody. We can tell them about the love of Christ and the gospel of the Lord Jesus, and the God that saved us can save them in this day and this hour. My goodness, they knew where to bring them, to the beautiful gate. Brother Randall, Brother Randy, Brother Adam, Brother Jerry, may this church always be a place that's beautiful. People can bring the down and outers too. Folks tickle me. You ever notice, and I don't know, but some ladies are so bad about it. They come in, they rocking that new purse and them high heels. They got that nose stuck up in the sky, and if it would rain, they'd drown. Somebody say amen. Maybe because it's so pretty, they think this is a big high to duty and big religious crowd. But honey, we all stand even at Calvary. If it wasn't for the grace of God, where would we all be in this day and this hour? Thank God for Calvary. May it sink into us what God has entrusted us with here. The gathering. It's great to gather at God's house. The guest. The gate. But now look at the gaze. Verse number 4 and 5. Peter did something nobody else had done. Peter fastened his eyes upon him. But John said, look on us. And watch, he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Preacher, was he wanting an alms? Yes, it was part of their practice in Judaism. They were to give their alms to the poor and help them. And we are still, we that are blessed, are still to reach out and help the poor. But let me tell you today, Peter did something when he looked on him. This gaze. He said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Can I tell you that people, they have the right to expect more out of me and you. Our word ought to be our bond. We ought to walk the walk. We all make mistakes. I wish this flesh was saved. I'd never make a mistake, but I do. But when I do make a mistake, you know what I do? I apologize to others and I apologize to God. People are watching us, and they expected to receive something of them. That ought to be every visitor that walks in the doors of this place. They have a reason to expect something. My goodness, I've seen churches so crazy. In one local church, we've seen this. They had a costume day, and a woman had devil ears up in the choir. Let me tell you, there ain't going to be no devil ears up in this choir. Sick people go to the hospital. That's what we're here for. To help sick people. Hurting people. Oh, he was expecting to receive something of them. Now, three things about this gaze. Watch. You'll notice, first of all, as this lame man is watching them, don't miss this. The saints are walking. The saints are walking. This gaze. He sees Peter and John going in the temple. Can I tell you, it's still all right to stop and say hi to somebody? Y'all would be surprised. Ooh, y'all so quiet this morning. The time change, Brother Michael. We're an hour behind. Oh, I dread next Sunday. I've been at churches, sat down, nobody said nothing yet. And the pastor called me to come preach, and they look at me like, what you doing here? And I think, I'm wondering the same thing. You can be kind to people. You don't have to go to every pew the way I try to do, but you can say, good morning, how's your mama and them? You can greet them. And so he expected to receive something. There were the saints were walking. They're watching us. One of the greatest times happened to me Friday. I was at a business in Carrollton. Got done with the business, got ready to get my truck, and there was a man there older than me, and that's pretty old. Somebody say amen. He said, get in your truck. I'd like to talk with you a minute. This is what he said, Miss Peggy. He said, I want to be saved, and I want to be right in eternity. I was able to preach him a little gospel message. That man bowed his head, called upon the Lord. Tears began to trickle down his face. He said, oh, preacher, now I know. I'm going to tell you, it's good to know that you're saved this morning. Oh, it's so good to know But hear this gaze, for the saints were walking. Number two, for the sinners watching. They're watching me and you. There are some times when I do things and I'd like to let something slip, but I try to bite my tongue. Somebody say amen. Any of y'all ever tried to hit a golf ball swing and miss it and what goes through your mind? Any of y'all ever shot at a clay target and you say, ain't no way I can miss it, and you wasn't in 5 foot of it, you want to say something sometime. I'm talking about the sinner watching. There's a man coming here one morning, he grabbed me, he said, preacher, come out and tell you something. I said, what you need, bud? He said, there was this family down there at the red light, and I made a wrong turn, and I shook my fist at him, and he pulled in the church behind me. I said, well, go in there and tell him that you love him this morning. Somebody say amen. The sinner's watching. It's very important. We let our light shine. Thank you for letting your light shine. Thank you for being the salt of the earth. We're not better than nobody. Many of us ought to be in the lowest hell this morning. But God, Brother Tim, God done something. I'm trying to tell you, we got a good church and we need to take it to another level. We need to realize people are watching. The gaze. There where the saints are walking. Where the sinner is watching. But thirdly, where the Savior is working. And it takes me to my last point. Not only is there a gaze, but now look at the gift. I sure am glad, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, God didn't give out of what He had. He gave all He had. And so, here we see this gift. Look what happens. I'm done preaching. Verse number 6. He is expecting to receive something on them, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what you Bible such as I have, I give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk. Preacher, what you thought right there? Look at the report of the gift. Very important, the report of the gift. Peter said, I ain't got no money. Don't you think that's probably a letdown? He is wanting an alms. You know, when you ever notice when you don't want to fool with somebody, you'll look at them, but you won't look at them, but they're looking, and this lame man thought, man, he's going to give me a little piece of money. He's going to help me today. Peter said, bud, I ain't got no silver and gold, but let me tell you what I do got. Do you know what you got? Do you know what's inside of you? Could you let somebody else experience what you have? I hear a lot of people saying, well, how do I win people to the Lord? Tell them how you got saved. If it's biblical. I've heard everything, many things. We was in the prisons this week, Montgomery, Alabama. Nearly every man you'll go to, yeah, I've been saved. I've been saved. Have you been saved? Can I tell you, it was a glorious night, Tuesday night. 157 inmates come in that place. And the doors was locked. They couldn't get up and go nowhere. Y'all know what I preached that church at that place Tuesday night? What I preached here Sunday morning, and you know what happened? 10 men got saved Tuesday night. The gospel still works. Brother Mike, aren't you glad we can use a sermon over and over and over again? Because His blessings are new every morning. So we see the report of this gift. Then watch this. There's the response of this gift. And this is where some of you are missing it. Peter reached out his hand to grab him. You know what this boy done? He reached back. When Christ reaches to you, you got to reach back by faith. How did he get saved, preacher? He responded back from the reach. God's tried to reach many of you. But you, by faith, are going to have to reach back to him. And God will do for you what he done for this lame man that was born in a pitiful situation. Young children, the Bible says you must be born again. Miss Sherry, if you could. Mom and daddies, the Bible says you must be born. You know, I've heard this a lot. I don't know why people, I don't really why they think like this. But I want to tell you what I've heard a lot from people. This is what they say. What will the people think? I'm older and I want to be saved. What will the people think? I tell you what they should think. Thank you, Lord, that you're dealing with their heart. And so I said all that to say this. It doesn't matter your age. You need to be saved. Now, I say this and I'm done. You'll notice Peter and John, they still went to the temple. That was Judaism. Maybe this will help our church and you think what I'm fixing to say. It took a little bit for them to break out of what they were taught all their life. But you'll notice in a few more chapters, the Spirit of God's upon them. They break away from Judaism, the mannerisms and the customs of the law, and they started to go to church. And so some of you, you may have been saved out of some hard things in your background. Keep reading your Bible. Keep praying. God will give you light. Bring you to a new pathway like you've never been. This morning, the gate called Beautiful. May the gate to God always stay open here. May we look at people as God sees them. He said, I can't do it, but I know a man that can. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. Y'all know what he done? He got up and walked and he leaped and he praised God. Brother Hired, don't never feel like you're out of place when you want to praise him. I love to see you stand in prayer room. The problem with most of us, we've got used to being saved. But it's so wonderful to know that he can stand you up. Let you raise your hands toward the God of heaven and say, Lord, thank you for what you've done for me this morning. If every head would bow in the building, I would like to ask you something. Nobody looking, I would never, ever come to you. I'd never embarrass you, but I do want to know how to pray for you. Anybody here this morning? With an uplifted hand, say, Pastor, I've never been saved. Would you pray for me? Would you have your people pray? Would it be a hand in place? God bless you. It'd be a hand. All right, look this way. Brother Tim, I want you to come lead me a verse of a song. We're going to stand around the building. I want to open this altar up. What do you need in your life this morning? God has brought you to this place for a reason. No doubt he's reaching your way. Will you reach back by faith? Maybe you're here and you need help in your life. This altar is always open. I wish you'd come use it. Call upon the Lord to help your family. We're going to stand around the house. What's your number, Brother Tim?